whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We are here at the Pluckers in Addison, right there at Beltline and the Tollway, and would love it if you come on out and join us. Delicious food needs to be consumed while you get your sports talk on with us. Huge college football action this weekend. We'll start discussing at 11:20. But joining us right now on the buyersafety.com hotline.
Oh, a phone is ringing.
105.3, the phone. I know when that hotline bling. You read him at DallasCowboys.com. You hear him on the air with us. It's our good buddy, the LSU-loving David Hellman. Good afternoon, Mr. Hellman. How are we?
Hey, y'all. Good. How's it going? What's up?
Great. You sound magical, man.
Oh. Hey, Dave, I'm going to cut in early here before we totally get started, but I'm seeing on Twitter from your good friend, Lindsey Cash Draper, that Zeke press conference at 2 o'clock today.
Oh, good. Wow, y'all are breaking news to me. I mean, we've been hearing rumors that there was probably a presser coming for a while now, but I wasn't sure of a time. Yeah, there you go. So we'll get to hear from him again. Yeah.
That's great. So you'll get to start the G-Bag Nation today with the Zeke presser. And, man, I think Cash is such a dope nickname for Lindsey Draper. I love that. So, Hellman, let's get right into this. Zeke is signed. You are one of the more vocal guys saying one way or the other, Zeke will be here for week one. And so now that he's here for week one, what do you anticipate this offense looking like when it takes the field Sunday afternoon?
You know, I'm curious, just because the guy's been away from football for so long, like how much are you really going to lean on him in this first outing? Like he'll be there. He'll be in uniform. I know they got a roster exemption, so technically he's not on the roster right now, but he will be. But it doesn't necessarily sound smart to me to give the guy 30 carries right off the bat after he spent a month away from the team, didn't get a single training camp rep. So I still think Tony Pollard has a pretty big role to play here. I'm curious about Alfred Morris. Do you take him into this game as an insurance policy? They have to make a roster move at some point. So if it's me, I'm easing Zeke into this thing, you know, with a dozen, maybe 20 touches, but even that seems like a lot for a guy that didn't have a training camp.
So let's say that you have to bet your life on this. Oh. All right? You've got a machete to your throat.
Okay.
All right? Nunchucks to your nunchucks. Mm. And you have to decide who gets more touches in this game. Touches, carries, receptions between Tony Pollard and Zeke.
Oh, I'll go with Zeke. I mean, even if it is a reduced role, he's your bell cow. He's your guy. They'll find a way to get him involved. And, you know, let's say he has 15 touches, then you throw in, you know, another 10 or 8 for Pollard, and, you know, maybe Jameis Olawale has a role in that. But I still think at the end of the day, Zeke is the leader in the clubhouse.
I don't think it's going to be that much, though. I agree. When we were kicking this around yesterday, I thought Zeke would have more touches, but I thought it would be by a small amount for all these reasons that we've kind of lined out here. What do you think, more than anything, this just the Zeke presence does for Kellen Moore? I know that Jerry's talked about this even last year. Hey, we want to roll things out incrementally so that you can't get beads on our tendencies, but that was just not the Linehan way. How vastly different do you anticipate this offense looking tomorrow versus, say, it may look in week 8 or 9 of this season?
Yeah, I think this thing's going to happen gradually. Like, I mean, no, there's going to be differences. Like I said, like you can see the motions and the different personnel packages. Honestly, if there's one thing I'm excited about, it's Kellen Moore's willingness to use 21 personnel. That's two backs, one tight end. A lot of times it's been a running back and a fullback, because I certainly think Jameis Olawale is going to have a bigger role this year. But, man, it's exciting to think that Kellen Moore would be comfortable putting Zeke and Tony Pollard on the field at the same time. At the same time, like I said, I don't know. I don't think they're going to run out there and just look like this drastically different football team. I think you're going to see some differences, but my guess would be it's going to take us a few weeks to really get our hands around the differences. I don't think it's just going to be this drastic departure.
You know, I'm interested in that too, seeing Zeke and Pollard out there together. How do you think that changes what the defense does? And I guess that could evolve, and it would also depend on the defense. But Is that the difference between does a team say, all right, well, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna get rid of a linebacker and we're gonna go with a DB? Oh, you've got two running backs in and a tight end. Okay, we're gonna leave a tight end. I mean, I guess it depends on how teams approach that. But if you could put Pollard against a linebacker, we saw how that worked with Jalen in camp. That might be delicious for the Cowboys, or would people just get in, you know, have more DBs if Pollard's in?
Honestly, I'm good either way because, yeah, it would be fun to put Tony Pollard against a linebacker. It's fun to put Zeke Elliott against cornerbacks. And that's what makes that so intriguing is it's hard to mix and match your defensive personnel when you have two very different running backs who can do a little bit of everything. You know, we saw Pollard move out wide and do some real receiver stuff. He did that in college, but he did it in training camp too. Motioning out of the backfield, drawing linebackers out of the box, and if they're both on the field at the same time, you can draw guys out of the box and still give the ball to Zeke. Like I said, I don't think it really needs to be drastically different. I think you just need to take advantage of things like that, of mixing and matching and getting people out of the personnel that they're comfortable in, and it can make a world of difference, even if that's only Zeke getting 6 yards instead of four. I think it's little stuff like that, and you know, I got to see it to really believe it, but there's been signs during training camp that Kellen Moore is willing to do that.
How many, we're talking to David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com. How much time have you spent thinking who is better and by how much, the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles?
That's really tough because, I mean, I do think about it because obviously that's your primary competition to win the division. For my money, I think they're both among the five best teams in the NFC. And I find myself wondering, like, will this Cowboys team wind up being better than last year's but not winning the division? And that's a tough pill to swallow because I do think this team is much better than it was last year. And I still think winning the division is an awfully steep hill to climb when you think about a first-place schedule. You know, you got the Saints on there, you got the Patriots on there, the Rams, the Packers, the Vikings, two games against the Eagles. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, this could be a damn good team that has to settle for a wild card berth if they make the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm a believer in the Eagles if Carson Wentz stays healthy. I know people don't want to hear that, but, you know, if you put a gun to my head today, I think they probably win the NFC East.
Wow, what a hater.
No, sorry, I know. I'm the worst. Man. I'm the worst.
Coming up next, the Cowboys offseason plans, what they're going to do in the draft.
Yeah, well, we can just get right into the draft if y'all want. Yeah, why even play the games?
The search for a new head coach.
No, that's fair. That's very fair. We're talking to Dave Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. Man, I read a great article by our buddy Bob over in The Athletic about this defense and how they could take the next step and become elite. And a couple of things that really stood out to me is, you know, the Cowboys' defense was really good last year. You know, they finished in yards allowed 7th, total points allowed 6th. But on third down, they were 27th in the league, and that really stood out to me. I was surprised by that. And also, just more, even with Chris Richard at the helm, seemingly, they don't like to blitz a lot. And I always thought that was a Marinelli thing. They were 25th in blitzing in terms of frequency in the NFL last year. What do you think it would take for the Cowboys to take that next step and truly become elite, and how do they get there?
I'm going to simplify it real easy and just say get more takeaways. Like, get your hands on footballs because – and I hear what you're saying about third down, you know, third down defense. Obviously, that's important, but you just said it. I mean, what, fifth in defense and 6th in scoring? Or maybe I had that backwards, but either way, they were top 10 in the two most important categories. What they don't do is take the ball away. I think Leighton Vander Esch and Xavier Woods led the team in interceptions with 2 apiece. That's just not going to cut it for like a top-notch elite defense that's in the headlines. It hasn't been good enough for basically the entire time I've covered the team. I think the team leader for interceptions in my time covering the team is Sean Lee with 6, and that was all the way back in 2013. So, you know, Xavier Woods, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, any of these young corners, you know, Chido Awuzie and Jordan Lewis have been fantastic in training camp. That needs to translate to takeaways because you can limit the yards and points all you want. If you're not setting your offense up for success by giving them short fields, I don't think you can take that next step. So I think that's the only thing that's really left.
We're joined by Hellman DC on Twitter of DallasCowboys.com. Dave, my question for you, what is your favorite football movie?
Kick ass.
Oh, man, my favorite. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, football movies are nowhere near as good as baseball movies. Like, there's nowhere near as many good football movies as baseball movies.
True that.
If I had to pick...
a guy that hadn't seen Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
I haven't. I'm sorry. I know it's cliche, but I mean, Remember the Titans rules.
Yeah.
It's a good one. True. It's so
quotable. I like Clash of the Titans.
That's not a football movie.
Oh. Kind of.
Is very good and somewhat realistic.
Sort of.
And it stands the test of time, I would argue.
Isn't it a true story?
It is a true story.
That's why it seems somewhat realistic.
It's a classic, it's exaggerated, but it's true. I just, you know, like Ryan Gosling's in there and Donald Faison from Scrubs is in there. Like, it's fun seeing all these people before they were famous.
Yeah.
Mine is Air Bud Golden Receiver, the sequel to Air Bud.
I don't believe you.
Is that one true?
That one is very true, man. And that dog, it kind of looks like your dog there, Dave, Josie. Or Josie, I guess.
Josie's got shorter hair, but yeah, I'll give it to you.
Your opinion, though, that baseball movies are better than football movies is wrong in that universe, because Air Bud's Seventh Inning Fetch has got nothing on Air Bud Golden Receiver.
That's a great point. These
Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch was, what, like the sixth Air Bud movie by that point?
Kevin, I feel like these are thoughts that you could just keep in your head.
Oh, yep. Sometimes I don't know if I'm on the air or
we'll
not.
Talk about that. We'll talk about that at the bar later, KT.
You know what, bros? Seriously, don't sleep on hockey movies.
Everything feels like a podcast these days.
Yeah. It's true.
Honestly, here at the DC.com offices, we quote Slapshot more than any other sports movie.
Oh, that's
a
great
We're a bunch
movie.
Of football nerds, but we talk about Slapshot all the time.
Hell yes. All right, so who would be – what were the redheaded triplets with glasses called?
Oh, put me on the spot. I don't even remember. The National Anthem line is the best part of the whole movie. I can't quote it on the radio.
I think it's the Rambis brothers.
Yeah, they do look like the Rambis brothers. All right, so in terms of, you know, those guys got called up. They brought back life to that Paul Newman hockey team, and they were rough and rugged and wild, and they were outlaws. Who's the one player that could do that for the Cowboys that could surprise? Maybe you could call it a yeast beast.
Oh.
Somebody who's hiding in the shadows, and they come out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they surprised this year. Who's your hockey yeast beast for the Cowboys?
I mean, if you're a diehard Cowboys fan, you've probably already heard people say this, but Malik Collins was just so impressive in the build-up to this season. You know he's talented. He's dealt with injuries every year of his career. But I really think if he's healthy, he has the potential to be the best three technique that Rod Marinelli's had during his time in Dallas.
Wow.
You know, Jason Hatcher put up 11 sacks in Marinelli's first season. They really haven't had that war daddy three tech ever since. You know, they tried it with Henry Melton. Malik had a decent rookie year, but again, the injuries got the best of him. So if he can put together a healthy season, I really think you could be talking like six sacks as a minimum, like anywhere from like 6 to 10, maybe even more. I think he's got the potential to finish second on the team in sacks, and I think that would make a huge difference for this defense.
And KT said he was amazing on the Cowboy Hour. Thank you for your time, Hellman. We appreciate it, homeboy. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, all right?
Go Tigers, horns down.
But, hey,
sir.
Okay.
Sir.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Sir.
That's actually an amazing tease for what we have coming up next.
I didn't know he was a Mizzou fan.
You can't do that. I think that's a flag on LSU for him saying that. You can't do that anymore.
Which, by the way, did you ever see that what's that dude's name? Rob Thomas? Who's the guy that was on
– Matchbox 20?
No. He's the – Rob Lowe. Where Rob Lowe was a Madonna type.
Oh, yes.
Was that
what
called
was that?
Bloodhawk or Young Hawk? Or,
God, that was
– And Swayze was in it?
That's not worth remembering.
No. It's not called Hockey Hawk.
Oh, you're talking about Roadhouse.
Yeah, no,
Swayze.
Rob Lowe was basically Mike Madonna, and Patrick Swayze was basically...
Again, these are more internal thoughts.
I don't know. I bet everybody will watch it tonight instead of the Bears-Cubs.
Bears-Packers. Yep.
Well, before you tease, I want to squeeze this in. Again, the Zeke press conference at 2 today.
Okay.
Lyle Collins will not be a part of it. He just said, I don't want to be a part of it. According to Jane's tweet, said, Just want to be a part of it. Not a big deal.
All right.
Just want to be in front of it. So 2 o'clock, and Dave was brought to you by Ford, the best in Texas.
Well done, KT. So we'll mix with the G-Bag Nation at 1:40 and then head to the Zeke Presser. Before we do all that, we have a college football weekend preview we need to throw down next right here on The Fan. You can always text in, too, on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Tons of reaction to the Hellman segment and lots of that movie talk. Youngblood, the great Mike Modano, Rob Lowe. Hockey movie that all of our listeners love.
Oh, first Youngblood with Stallone.
But I love it whenever these and the Hanson brothers, obviously the crazy guys from Slapshot. But I love it when our listeners chime into the show via the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Keep it up.
No doubt about it. And, hey, happy football, everybody. It's back. NFL football tonight. Packers and Bears. And obviously we're hard charging towards a little Zeke and Dallas Cowboys football as they take on the Giants of New York. But we should turn our attention first to a little college footballing. Mm. So let's do that now, Shippy. Feel free to give us the college music, and let's talk about this. Let's start first with A&M at Clemson. Number 11 Texas A&M heads to Death Valley on Saturday afternoon. Clemson looking for its third straight win over the Aggies, including last year, a surprising one where the Aggies kept it real close at just 2 points. It was 28-26 Clemson at the end of that one. A&M in this one, though, a 17-point underdog.
You know what else was working against them, guys? Is not only the fact that the game was close last year, not only the fact that it's at Clemson this year, but also the fact that their quarterback is coming off a somewhat mediocre performance by his standards. Ooh. And he is a beast. So you don't want to get the beast the week after people are saying, he didn't play so well last week.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And Kellen Mond is a guy, when you look at him, who is
for the
about,
Aggs.
For, you know, but I'm saying he's about 3 inches shorter than Trevor Lawrence of Clemson, who you were just talking about. And one thing they were talking about is they're talking about, it was the defensive coordinator for Clemson, Brent Venables, was talking about, he goes, Kellen Mond, when you stand by him, you go, God, he's huge. He goes,
really?
He goes, everyone talks about Trevor being big, and Trevor is big.
It's Trevor 6'5"?
Might be 6'6".
Oh, my God.
He goes, but you look at Kellen Mond, and he is huge. And Kellen Mond, we watched him last year, he did seem a little wiry.
Uh-huh.
But he's put on a little bit of weight. So that's very interesting. He dumped 300 yards on him in the second half last year to kind of make that a game. I was surprised that the line was as big as it is. One of the lines I saw was 17.
It's because of the travel. Yeah.
Was Trevor Lawrence a true freshman last year?
Yes.
Okay, so he's still growing.
He's a sophomore, and he looked bad last week.
Kavanaugh said he's the greatest quarterback prospect he's ever seen at that age.
I said that about Josh Rosen, and then he got his shoulder jacked up by a bad offensive line.
A couple of little nuggets here for you. Clemson has won 19 consecutive regular season games, non-conference games, dating back to 2014, 19 consecutive non-conference games. They've also won 11 consecutive games by at least 20 points, one shy of matching Alabama for the longest such streak since 1936.
I've stated it many times. I went to UT for a couple of years, so my allegiance is there. But I do feel bad for the Aggies when you just look at the first 6 weeks of their schedule and go, good God, it is so difficult to just put it together in the SEC. And even though they're in different conferences, Aggies and Longhorns are constantly comparing themselves to one another. And while the Johnny Football thing was happening, UT was really sucking on a tailpipe. And there was a lot of boasting and, hey, we made the move to the SEC and you guys made fun of us. But it's really coming home to roost right now. Now, I think long-term, I think, you know, A&M has a coach that'll put it together, and they'll be right there in the SEC. But I would be shocked if I think Aggie fans should be ecstatic if they're 4-2 six games in. Ecstatic.
No, absolutely. And another thing that why they have a chance to be there is if Kellen Mond is taking a huge step and, like, really proving to be real. Venables, the DC at Clemson, said that Kellen Mond's the best quarterback they'll play all year. Now, I would say it would probably be Tua in the championship game, for being super realistic, but that's pretty high praise, dude. I mean, Clemson, the ACC's not great or anything, but for him to say that's the best quarterback they'll play all year.
Right.
That's a pretty big deal. That'll
that
be
is pretty
the
230 big deal.
Game. Looking forward to it. Now, the A&M, we got audio. You hear that real quick?
Oh, yeah.
The A&M guard, Jared Hawker. Now, this is 5 days ago.
Yep.
But here he is talking about tomorrow's or Saturday's game against Clemson.
Make them ripe for an upset?
Oh, yes, it does. There will be an upset. you guaranteeing victory?
I mean, I'm pretty confident in my ability and our team's ability. So,
okay, I would pretty like, confident. Is
hold
not
on,
guaranteed.
Hold on, hold on. He was put in the crosshairs by a media person, and he handled that very responsibly, in my opinion. That is a college kid that was called out on tape. Oh, you ready to say you're going with the upset? You ready to make the bold? Because we've talked about this. The bold upset proclamation has been diminished over the years. Everyone talks about Broadway Joe and talk about the thousands of others that were just slammed into the ditch. So he did. He just said what he was supposed to say. I don't think he did anything wrong there.
Yeah, he said he has confidence in his own ability and in his teammates.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to say? Well, I'm probably going to get dominated a little.
Right.
And my teammates suck. But, yeah, we're going to win.
He didn't guarantee victory. He just said, oh, we're coming for it.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Hmm. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned allegiances in this. I come from a family with Longhorns. Like, I couldn't get into Texas, though, as you know, Skin. Had to go to Texas Tech for a little bit, finished at North Texas.
They're always the national champions.
I don't have a dog in the hunt here, and but I guess I kind of lean towards Texas because of my family. But they sold me a bill of lies. I'm not sure if that's the right way to say that. But they sold me some lies because I got love for the Aggie. I got a lot of friends who went to A&M, and they're not as bad as I was led to believe.
No, they're bad. But I got conflict as well because I was raised an Aggie. Because my grandfather was an Aggie.
Yeah.
And that was small side of the family. And then my older cousin went to A&M. But once my sister went to UT, I was like, oh, we can do that? Floodgates open.
Yeah.
My grandfather used to say, yeah, you drive to Austin, it's nothing but hippies on the lawn smoking marijuana. You know, it was that old.
was he thinking back towards NAM?
I guess so. He more of a World War II guy, but it's that whole mentality.
There you go.
Well, it's an interesting thing this weekend, though, because A&M should want LSU to beat Texas. I mean, they should want Texas to beat LSU to get rid of them in the same conference. And Texas should absolutely want A&M to go beat Clemson. Because if you have national title hopes, aspirations, Texas, then you need Clemson to lose a game somewhere. Well, this could be one of them.
Texas just happy not to start off the season with a loss like they normally do. And now LSU at Texas, a huge game. Texas is home, but they're still 4-point underdogs, and I know they've had a lot of injuries at the running back position. Their starter's okay, but they had a 5-star true freshman, I think. That guy got banged up. Their other backup got banged up, and now they're having to switch guys over from different positions and turn them into last-second running backs.
And it's tough because LSU has a pretty suffocating defense, homie.
Yeah, the details on the Longhorns running back situation is more extreme than I thought. So their starter is Keontae Ingram now, but their backup, or the other guy that they got hurt, it was Jordan Whittington.
Yeah.
Now, he tore the adductor off of his pubis symphysis.
Sir, you can't say that.
So, guys,
so he had a waxing?
So they call it, it's kind of like a sports hernia, but I dug in a little bit deeper.
Oh.
And, man, the pubic symphysis is so uncomfortably close to the genitals.
Yeah.
That I just fear for that kid's future.
Pubic,
they say he's only going to miss 6 weeks or so, but I fear for that kid. No one should tear their adductor off of their pubic area.
Is pubic symphysis like a transgendered situation?
No, symphysis.
Oh.
Symphysis.
Okay.
So here's what happened, though. So their backup quarterback, one of their backup quarterbacks, Roshan Johnson, is going.
Yes.
But he had a big stomach virus last week. So he was being quarantined for a few days. So they lost Kirk Johnson. He was a senior, and he had a sprained shoulder. They lost junior Daniel Young to a left high ankle sprain. Another guy that they were supposed to have was a scholarship running back named Darian Brown. He's not around with them right now because he had a stroke before he enrolled.
Ugh.
Their running back, Keontae Ingram, is the next to go down, and it's going to be gruesome. We've got a pubic injury.
Uh-huh.
We got a guy having a stroke. This feels very cursey.
Well, then this is a perfect time to play the audio clip that we have for this game, boys, because that would put a lot of emphasis on Ellinger to step up and be the beast that he is. Let's play that, Chippy. What do we have here? This is a member of LSU's defense weighing in on Ellinger.
Did you think you would eventually see Sam again like this?
I knew it was coming. I saw it on the schedule as a recruit. I'm glad that we get to go against him again. I don't really find him too much as a threat. I mean, not taking a shot at him, but he uses his legs more than his arms. So just like high school, he has a decent arm, but it's more about his legs.
I'm not taking a shot at him, but I mean, that's taking a shot at
that's
him.
Taking a shot.
Now, they played against each other in the state championship game in the state of Texas, so that's where that comes from. But, you know, if the running back situation is dire, Ellinger, obviously, he's that dude's right. Ellinger runs the ball a lot, but he's going to have to make plays with his arm. He absolutely has to.
Texas threw it 43 times last week and ran it 30 times. He's going to have to throw it a bunch because it's on him.
Guys, I believe we might have some breaking news. Let's go now to Jonathan Shippy Shipman, who's standing by.
This is brought to you by the Radio.com Sports app and Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Shippy.
Yeah, guys, this breaking news from Adam Schefter. It says the next chapter, Antonio Brown and GM Mike Mayock got into it Wednesday, and the team is now planning to suspend its star wide receiver.
Oh! Suck it to everybody who drafted Antonio Brown. I was thinking about this. I was like, man, I should have drafted Antonio Brown. I was probably too worried about him being a psycho head case.
I was worried about the feet, but
Jared did it in our league. I'm playing him.
That's bold. That's why you listen to the Fantasy Funcast with Shippy and KT.
Is this still a part of the breaking news?
Yeah.
Okay. Jared's hating life right now.
The level of dysfunction of being a team that traded away their best player and traded away a number one receiver for draft picks to then turn around and trade for the biggest head case in the sport, a guy who was openly defying a Super Bowl contending team in Pittsburgh on a regular basis, to turn around and trade for that, I'm sorry. You wear that, Mayock.
Having said that, if they have a fire sale, I'm more than happy to take him on. I'm more than happy to – hey, the Cowboys are going for it right now. Dude, if you had Amari Cooper and Antonio Brown, Gallup's your number three.
Here's the deal on that. At least if you were to do that, Oakland would be eating all the signing bonus, and you would just have to deal with base pay. So it's real easy to walk away from, but – I don't know, man. That guy.
Mayock doesn't have it for this. Like, I don't think he's going to have the temperament for this job.
Dude, you can't fine a guy.
They should. Like, watch. Jerry and Steven could have fined Zeke. They were never going to do that. You should not have fined Antonio Brown. If you're going to trade for him, you know what you're trading for.
Right.
Do not fine the guy and try to salvage it. You're either trying to win games or you're not. And this sends the tone of I'm not trying to win games because I'm going to mess with this fragile person right now. I'm just going to mess with him and fine him.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bow up and get into it and then suspend him. It's cool, dude. The dude, Mayock doesn't need to have that job.
It's like saying, hey, we brought in this heavy metal band to stay at our hotel, and I'll be damned. They wrecked the room a little bit. We're disgusted. We're going to suspend them for the concert. It's like, wait, you should know what you were getting. Everyone in the world knew this was a dysfunctional individual. You're going to fine him, and you think that's going to go over well? Oh, my God. Some punitive fines. Now he's going to get in line. Once you fine him, I'm sure he's going to be okay with that.
But why ever require him?
Yeah.
Why were the Raiders – so the Raiders did all of that to try to see if they could secure 8-8 this year with Antonio Brown on their team? This does not make sense. To me, it's a more extreme version of what the Texans did, and the Texans had a reason because they have a coach that's pretending to be a GM that's just trying to keep his job. But guess what? If the Texans don't win their division this year and go deep into the playoffs, they have gutted themselves for this year, by trading two first and a second. Oakland did the right thing. All right, you know what? We've got these players. We're not ready to win. Let's get rid of these great players we have and stockpile draft picks. Oh, wait, but let's bring in the 30-year-old malcontent and pay him a lot of money.
But I know why. I know why they did.
It's stupid.
It's because they're moving into a new stadium, right?
Yep.
New market. They need excitement. He is still one of the most exciting players in the entire league. You absolutely cannot cover him. So I get the appeal. I mean, I wouldn't have had any interest in Raiders games, but now I am interested in Raiders games for that one player only. And if they do get rid of him, I won't give a damn about watching a single play of Raider football.
Yeah. You're not in on Dave Carr?
Okay, no one calls him Dave, first of all. Okay, no one calls him Dave.
I'm going to be watching a lot of Raiders with
just
Dave
think
Carr.
That's such a horrible way to handle that guy. I mean, it's not the 1970s.
Why would you want that guy? If you're the Raiders, why do you want that guy?
For ratings.
Why do you want the NFL Network guy to be your GM?
Great point.
He played in the league. He's a football guy. I'm not taking shots at him, but you have to have the temperament for that job.
I think you bring him in if you think you can win. I don't think the Raiders can win.
I think they just wanted ratings. Coming up next, we've got some Lonzo Ball. Shut up, Shippy.
Let's see if they can bounce back.
Shut up, Shippy. Let's see if they can bounce back.
Yeah, they lost
Wyoming,
man.
We're four minutes late right now, and this is what you have.
What's next?
Lonzo Ball.
Wait, what?
Lonzo Ball was scamming everyone in the world and just admitted to it. You have to hear this. And bad news for one of my heroes. We'll get into that next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks, Shippy. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Again, the breaking news is that Antonio Brown and Raiders GM Mike Mayock got into some sort of an altercation, whether it's a yelling match, shoving match, we don't know. It was an all-out barroom brawl. But, boy, that has been a disaster ever since they brought Antonio Brown in, and his feet were frozen. He had frostbite on his feet. Then he wouldn't play without the special helmet that he painted himself. I mean, it's just been a disaster. And then they decide to go ahead and levy all these fines against him and think that's going to go over well. And it leads to an altercation and now a suspension. Is that what we're hearing?
Looks like he's going to be suspended for at least week one. So, and how that would work, the guy from Over the Cap, Jason, who runs that website, says that his 2020 guaranteed money will likely vanish if he is suspended. Now, he hasn't been officially suspended yet. You know, they play Monday night. Maybe they can get to a resolution at some point. But that would get rid of his guaranteed money for 2020 if he's suspended.
Man, if you could get him for next to nothing just so they could wash their hands of it, I'd let him paint his own Cowboys helmet.
Well, this is the most anti-Garrett thing of all time, bringing Antonio Brown in.
Oh, he's so great.
I'm going to lie and say he's the right kind of guy.
But that's the thing, kind of thing Jerry would do.
Yeah.
Jerry's like, listen, remember how we're going for it right now?
I ain't messing around
and going for it in this window. And the Cowboys circus is so big, they can basically swallow up any other tiny circus. Yeah, that tiny circus, a tiny distraction.
It's just whether there's a T.O. shelf life. Even the Cowboys got to the point where it was too much and had to push away from the table.
Yeah. How about 1 year?
Well, I would suggest this. How about half a year? How about let's let the Mayock thing play out and see where we are week 7 or 8?
If they're humiliated to the point where they want to get rid of him, the Cowboys and Raiders have a great relationship. They made a ton of trades with one another. Take another number one receiver from the Raiders and only do it fire sale prizes.
But I think at some point they would waive him and no one would claim him off waiver wires because they don't want to pay him that much money. And then you can negotiate with him straight up.
Story up on 1053thefan.com, too, on this, if you'd like to check that out as well. You guys did a video yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was
incredible.
Got a
video up on 1053thefan.com.
Yep. 1053thefan.com. We appreciate it. Go watch that video. And, of course, subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Ben and Skin YouTube channel, but making videos for 1053thefan.com. So we're breaking down the Zeke deal.
If you haven't bookmarked it, you should just bookmark the website. I wrote an article about week one, some of the funny storylines of week one.
Okay.
And Jeff and I did a video on the Lyle Collins contract as well, so that's up. So.
Okay, good. Yeah, get over there and check it out. Lots of compelling content for you at 1053thefan.com. Today we're at Pluckers in Addison, and we would love for you to come join us. Come have lunch with a Skin. You were just eating a Larry Bird chicken sandwich?
Yeah, so what I did is I had it tossed in the lemon pepper dry rub. I threw a pickle on that hoe and had some cheddar cheese, and I ate it in about 30 seconds. I mean, it was so delicious.
All I heard was a hoe and something about getting tossed.
Word up.
But you had it tossed. I ordered a chicken salad. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to consuming that with a little ranch dry rub. I had it tossed in that.
Yes. Yep. And they bring it to you during our break.
Would you like to say what you ordered?
Rub and toss.
Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Spicy lemon pepper.
Uh-huh. And you had them rub out the sauce on it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What sauce?
Toss or sauce?
Oh, and I also, last week I went with tots. This week I went with the waffle fries.
Okay, good. With Larry's sauce?
Larry's spicy lemon pepper sauce.
Guys.
Waffle fries. Unforgivable.
Lonzo Ball was on the Lighthearted podcast, and he gave the scoop on his trashy old shoes that he had. Now, what was the name of his shoe company?
It was called Big Baller Brand, Triple B.
Big Baller Brand. And he was talking about how the early incarnations of the shoes that they were having made, I don't know, out of a van in China or something. I don't know really what was happening there.
Well, they had a concept before a product.
Yeah, and they were straight trash. Meanwhile, he was pushing them hard, which is admitting to a scam. I can't wait to hear this. This is Lonzo Ball on a podcast talking about the early version of the big baller brand ZO2s that he used to have.
No one knows the real story about them shoes, though.
It was about
them ZO2s I was playing in, they was not ready.
They were?
Really?
No one knows it, but Demo had a backpack, and he had extra, like, four pairs of shoes in there, because I had to switch them every quarter, because they would just rip.
I mean, that's, if I had to say, like, why the first two games, like, the real truth is, like, yo, them shoes just wasn't ready. So I'm like, I'm on the phone, like, this is when Alan was running everything. I'm like, yo, like, I'm not playing in them shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care, bro. He's like, all right, just switch every brand next every game. I'm like, all right, cool.
Wow.
So that's how that happened. Like, if you literally have my shoes from those games, like, they're just, like, exploded, bro.
Why did you wear them? Just because you guys had, like, already.
They're my shoes. And you're like, I had a debut on, like, we already
the hype and shit.
We went so far with it. I'm like, cool, I can get a quarter in, but that's it. We got to switch them every quarter. And it's crazy, right? When I switched my shoes, and all of a sudden, magically, I got good again. It was, y'all was like, I never said nothing, but you know, I'm lighthearted. You know, let's give y'all the exclusive.
He said it's true.
That is so difficult for a young player trying to make his way in the league to carry the burden of his dad's ambitious marketing plans on his shoulders.
Well,
it's just so unfair. I was reading an article, Ben, about we've kind of forgotten about, well, not forgotten, but we're not paying attention to Mellow Ball, all right? I recently read Ricky O'Donnell, who does a bunch of scouting of young players. He thinks Mello Ball might be a top five prospect in the 2020 draft. And no one is watching him develop because his dad's lugging him all over the globe in search of his own glory.
I didn't believe it. I thought all the other kids sucked.
The middle.
Like, I thought they were all bad and that it was all just a hype machine. And, like, this is absolutely pathetic. And I sat there thinking, man, what a sham for Lonzo Ball to be out there pushing these shoes that he knows are crap. He can't even wear them through a quarter. And then I thought, he's a child, and this is the direction and under the directives of his father.
Yeah, he's 20 at the oldest. I'd have to go look at the timeline, but at the oldest, he's 20. And Ben, his name's on it. His name is on a trash product because his dad had a get-rich marketing concept before he had an actual product. So, I mean, I realize, you know, you're kind of laughing and all this stuff and joking. I mean, dude, he's basically admitting that their whole thing was fraud. Like, if you're going out to the public telling them that they need to wear something that you know is bad for them, there's rules against that. There's laws against that. So it's just, I mean, I get it. Everyone's got to figure out their way to make the way in this world. And LeVar Ball saw an opportunity and wanted to make the most of it. And I respect ambition, but, man, you could have built an empire the right way. It's just, it's really kind of depressing, quite honestly.
All right. I'm sorry, did you have something?
Well, no, I was just going to say that usually when anytime the balls come up at this point, I'm so checked out. It's going to take probably anything, maybe whatever happens in New Orleans with Lonzo, maybe I'll be a tad interested. Yeah. But if I hear LeVar or I hear one of the brothers, I just don't care anymore.
I tune out.
I feel like there's so much hype that they're trying too hard, that they're sweaty tryhard. So I just like, these are just sweaty balls.
Yeah. That's a great point.
I don't want it to feel forced, though. Like,
and they're,
you don't want to force the sweaty balls into the
what?
Situation.
What? No. And people shouldn't force balls on people.
No.
You know?
I'll say this, though. As all this is going on, Lonzo Ball can play, dudes. I'm a believer in the player.
Yeah.
I think he's... I don't love the way his shot looks, but I think he will eventually shoot it effectively enough to where that's a part of his weapon, of his repertoire. His passing is elite. His defense is elite. He's got great size. He can switch off onto bigger players. I'd be ecstatic if Lonzo Ball was playing alongside Luka Doncic.
I mean,
ecstatic.
People like playing with the balls.
Yeah.
Because they're not selfish players.
Right.
And, you know, Lonzo Ball makes everyone around him better.
Melo might be a selfish player.
I just don't know. Yeah. Isn't he the one that's pulling up from half court?
From half court, yeah.
All right. Coming up next, the Ben and Skin Show live from Pluckers in Addison. Will the Cowboys defense be elite? We got an awesome article to talk about it. And then we'll get into some of the wildlife stuff maybe at 12:20. All that's coming up on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.